From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, January 11th. Coming up, after pro-Trump extremists stormed the U.S. Capitol last week, teachers started thinking about how to explain it to their students. We learn more in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Democrats are trying to decide who the next Speaker of the House of Representatives will be because, for the first time in decades, it's not clear Michael Madigan will retain his title. Tony Arnold reports.
Some Democrats have said they won't support Madigan because a recent corruption investigation ensnared some of his close advisors. Now, to be elected Speaker, having a majority of votes is not enough. The winner needs at least 60. The first vote was last night. Think of it as a test vote. Madigan had 51 votes of support. State Representative Ann Williams from the north side was the next closest with 18. Oswego State Representative Stephanie Kifowit had 3. With pressure mounting to resolve this by Wednesday, Inauguration Day, more votes are expected today. I'm Tony Arnold.
State Representative Darren Bailey says he expects to return to work soon after fainting in front of fellow lawmakers. The Republican from Xenia collapsed during a session of the General Assembly yesterday afternoon. Video shows emergency crews transporting him from the Bank of Springfield center floor, where lawmakers are meeting to maintain physical distancing because of COVID-19. Bailey, who will move over to the Illinois Senate later this week, made headlines last year when he sued Governor J.B. Pritzker over stay-at-home orders. A judge ruled Pritzker's orders were legal. You can see Bailey's statement and video of his transport at illinoisnewsroom.org. Danville officials hope this is the year their long-sought casino project gets started. A revamped lineup of investors and developers is awaiting Illinois Gaming Board approval for their new license application after a 2019 application was deemed incomplete. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
Casino resort chain Golden Nugget is loaning money and its brand name for the Danville Casino project to be built and operated by real estate developer Wilmorite Management. Wilmorite Vice President of Gaming Development James Wilmot says even though video gaming has taken a bite out of their market, he thinks a casino and restaurant in Danville would attract gamblers.
You don't get a total experience playing a quick slot at a restaurant or the lobby of a country club. Well, when you walk into our facility, you have a highly safe, securitized gaming experience that's meant for adults.
The new casino proposal has less than half the slot machines and gaming tables that were proposed by the first one. All the same, Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. says the casino will create jobs and tax revenue and also help local businesses.
Because they'll supply the food that's used at the restaurants. They'll supply a lot of the equipment that's used for cleaning and things like that. So it will have a huge impact on our community.
Wilmot says if the Illinois Gaming Board approves their application this spring or summer, the Golden Nugget Danville Casino could be ready to open in late 2021 or early 22. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
The Illinois Department of Public Health announced more than 11,000 new cases of COVID-19 over the weekend and 182 deaths from the virus statewide. The preliminary 7-day statewide positivity rate for cases is 7.9% compared to 8.6% this time last week. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District reported 164 new cases of the virus over the weekend. There are 821 active cases countywide, including 23 residents who were hospitalized. The death toll from COVID-19 in Champaign County stands at 92, and the county's 7-day positivity rate, excluding tests conducted by the University of Illinois, is 7.2%. As of yesterday, 67 people were hospitalized with the virus at Carle Hospital in Urbana, including 15 people in the ICU. The hospital serves patients from multiple counties. Champaign County health officials have administered more than 6,500 initial doses of COVID-19 vaccines as of yesterday. Still to come, we'll find out how some teachers are discussing last week's insurrection at the U.S. Capitol with their students. Peter Medlin has that story next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. On January 6th, a mob of pro-Trump extremists stormed the U.S. Capitol building. Teachers watched the insurrection unfold and wondered, how am I supposed to explain this tomorrow in class? Peter Medlin has more.
Morris Elementary School principal Dave Raffel and his family stayed glued to the news until late at night. He looked over at his son, an eighth grader, processing the images and realized he was going to have to say something to his other kids, the 1,200 at his school. Every day, Raffel films his morning announcements and says the Pledge of Allegiance for his students, who are still learning remotely due to COVID-19.
Good morning. Today is Thursday, January 7th, 2021. Please join me and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
On Thursday, he was more conscious of the words of the pledge, and for one of the few times in his career, felt he needed to send a message to his kids that everything was going to be okay.
I know many of you yesterday may have watched TV and maybe saw some things that were concerning and maybe even scary for you.
Raffel told them that violence is never how to handle their problems and quoted Mr. Rogers, quote, "When you see something scary in the news, look for the helpers."
I've always been very upfront about things. And so when something goes down, I try to just be honest with kids when I talk to them and trying to be sensitive, trying to be aware of that parents have different ways of what they want their kids exposed to. But I try to teach it as a life lesson.
Watching an assault on the Capitol is shocking. But for Nicole Frazier and other social studies teachers in her department, the pro-Trump mob was predictable.
It was overwhelming. As it's going on, part of it was just kind of like, of course this is what's happening. This is what they've been saying the whole time.
She teaches government and history at Jefferson High School in Rockford along with Lucas Clevenger.
Our first reaction as we're sitting there watching it is going to be that whole, what do we do tomorrow? Like, how are we going to bring this up? What are we going to talk about?
Clevenger was in the middle of teaching a unit about the Civil War, which provided a context to the events he could have never fathomed he'd have to discuss as a first-year teacher. He pulled up the picture of a man walking the halls of Congress holding a Confederate flag.
The kids, I think, were mostly shocked than anything that they had never even thought about it, that the Confederates never made it into D.C. with that flag, but it was able to just stroll into the building yesterday.
Lessons on the election of 1800, the first peaceful transfer of power, and the War of 1812, the last time a violent mob breached the Capitol, suddenly take on new relevance and urgency. Mikel Andrade got home from work on Wednesday and didn't think it was real.
At first, I didn't like believe it. I thought it was like some fake news or something.
He's a senior at Jefferson High School. He thinks political violence in America like this could be more common as he gets older.
To be honest, I feel like it's going to impact a lot of us young people. We're going to see like violence. They're going to see it more normally.
His teachers couldn't hold as much conversation about it as they'd like to, a consequence of their blended in-person and remote classes during the pandemic. Nicole Frazier's in-person U.S. history class has 5 students compared to 28 in her remote course. She used resources from the PBS NewsHour to guide her students through the events of January 6th and what the pro-Trump extremists did at the Capitol. She also stepped back and explained not only why Congress was there, but also how baseless claims of election fraud were denied in court. It also became another lesson on media literacy.
It's really important for the students to understand that when they're reading something, the language that's being chosen is being chosen for a reason. It's trying to get you to understand, or it's trying to reach a certain group of people.
Another one of their social studies colleagues dove deeper into the role of white supremacy and domestic terrorism in the day's events. Between the pandemic and the attempted siege of the center of American democracy, educators have had to figure out how to explain unprecedented events more than they ever imagined over the past year. But in 2021, in the age of social media, students are going to hear about it. And teachers want to be there to help them process what's going on and look out for the helpers. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says another cool and cloudy day on tap with a high of 29 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Tony Arnold, Reginald Hardwick, Jim Meadows, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.